Scaricare. I don't know whether I'm hearing from God or what I'm hearing, but that was pretty amazing. Wow. Well, welcome. It's great to be here and to sing songs of the Lord and remember His goodness and mercy and grace to us. Those songs help prepare us for the Word. I've been preparing for the Word for a while this week, getting you ready for this message. And it's been another busy week, as they all mostly are in our lives. And even though we're in retirement, we haven't fully retired. I don't know what full retirement's all about, except it might be heaven. Maybe that's a full retirement. God's retirement plan is out of this world. It's certainly not in the world I'm living in, because I'm as busy or busier now than I was when I was pastoring a church. And now I go wherever I'm shipped, wherever I'm sent. Trying to be an obedient servant, that's what we need to be for the Lord, right? Serving Him with all of our heart, serving the Lord with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with His strength. And the Lord is good. We've had some challenges this week. We lost a loved one that we've been ministering to for a number of years, and she came to know Jesus just a matter of weeks ago. And now she's in heaven. And she is anxious that all of her family members would join her in their time to be with her in heaven. And we've prayed for them. We've talked to them. We've shared the gospel and the good news with them. And we want to be obedient to the Lord in letting the good news out to everybody we can. That's what God has called us to do, isn't it? I think your bulletin says I'm going to be preaching today on a message something like giving God the chance to help us plan for this new year ahead of us. I thought of that verse, rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again I say rejoice. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So we will do that, but we will also amplify that verse to say, this is the year that God has given us. We're in it, 2014. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so in order to do that, we have to do God's will. Anything less than the will of God in your life and mine will not bring a good year for Him or us. Doing the will of God is the essential thing for us every year. I was thumbing through some old notes I had years ago. I saw this year, getting ready for 1982. Oh, my goodness, that was a long time ago. And I don't know whether I was ready for it or not. I don't know whether I'd planned very much at all, but all of a sudden there it is. And on the checks, you had to change the date when you write a check. You have to remember that every time you write a check. Well, friend, we're in 2014, and God is always with us. He has a plan for us. I'm turning to Proverbs chapter 16 today, amongst a few other passages, talking about the plans that God expects us to make. There's a balance, a marvelous balance, and a wonderful balance between the sovereign will of God and His permissive will and the freedom He gives us to make choices so that we will cooperate with His sovereign will. To expand on that just a little bit, the sovereign will of God are things that God says, I will do, and looking back in history, things He has done, because He is the sovereign leader of the whole universe. He's the creator, He's the sustainer, He's the one who orders all the events of history. And He did that from the time of creation when He made the earth and the heavens. He did that at the time of the flood. The flood was His choice, not Noah's choice. It was God's choice. He did that through all the days of the history of the prophets as the nation of Israel was raised up. God raised up Abraham, as we heard about this morning. Led him sovereignly to the land that God wanted him to be in. He gave Abraham a choice. You going to follow me or not? Abraham followed. He did that because he had faith that the God whom he was hearing from knew where he was going, and he wanted to go with God. I made that choice a long time ago when I heard his voice through the Word of God preached and taught to me. I said, I want to follow the Lord. And it's no wonder here in Proverbs chapter 16, we see the name Lord in here so many times in the first few verses. Let's read them together. As you look in your translation, I'll read from mine. Proverbs 16, 1 through 5 for right now. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. I'm going to try to get to the ninth verse before we finish this message. But please point out there in your own mind, it's the Lord who's in charge of 2014. It is not anyone in Washington, D.C. It is not your financial advisor. It is not anyone in your family who thinks they are the leader. You are not in charge. I am not in charge. God is in charge of a whole new year. What are some of the things that it's telling us here in Proverbs 16? As you know, Proverbs has got to be hard to be homiletical with, to know how to work out an outline. I'm just going to walk through this and make some comments as we go. The plans of the heart belong to man. One of the freedoms that God gives us and one of the privileges God gives us is to make plans for our future. I would say that a life without plans, it could invite disaster. This morning as we were planning our trip over, my wife said, let's start early. The roads might be slippery. So we came 5 minutes early and got here 10 minutes too soon. But make plans. Life without plans invites disaster or chaos. Sometimes without making plans, you can be jobless. Or you can be homeless, or you can be hopeless if you don't make plans in the right direction. Some people put it on automatic pilot for a while and wonder why they crash. I heard a silly story a long time ago about a lady who put her motorhome on cruise and thought everything was in control, so she goes back in there and tries to do some cooking. I hope that was not a true story. Not good planning. Not good planning at all. And she wasn't even a blonde. But anyway, I want to get back to serious stuff here. We do make plans, and it's fun to plan, isn't it? Some people say, I want to have a dream, and we all should have some kind of a dream. Some of my dreams turn out okay, and some turn out to be a nightmare, even though I planned, because I wasn't fully in charge. The Lord has a right as the sovereign ruler of the universe to adjust my plans, to change my plans for his glory and yet for my good. And that's the wonderful mystery of the grace of Almighty God. He knows how to help us make the right plans, and we make those plans in our heart before God, who is Lord of all. And we can make our plans, but we ought to remember all the time we're making our plans, God, you have the right to do anything you wish with my plans. We found that out very distinctly this year. We had made plans back last January or soon after to go on a cruise in July to Alaska. And then those plans got changed because when my wife had her surgery in April to have a hip replacement, we found out we're not going on the cruise because she's not going to be fit to be on the cruise. She won't be healed. 3 surgeries in 4 months, not going. Our plans got changed, but you know, that was for good. Think of all the money we saved. So we can spend it on something else for the glory of God. Plans of heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Some people say, you know, I'm going to do this and that and the other. Over in James, it tells us over there in James chapter 4, verses 13 and on, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You see, ignorance is forgivable and expecting. It's something we expect to have. And that's curable. And that's okay. But arrogance is not forgivable. For the pride of heart that comes to people in making selfish plans and plans that are not going to glorify God, they will not come to pass because God will see to it that arrogant hearts get taken care of. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you really want to avoid a sinful path, give the Lord your plans. God expects us to plan ahead and not to live by blind chance. A forward look is a good perspective. Paul says, forget those things that are behind that might hinder you in your walk, but press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't go by blind chance. Don't live without looking to the Lord for your direction. Set goals, reasonable ones, good ones. My goal again for this year is in 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of my instruction is to have love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Those are good goals to have if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you decide which direction you're going to travel, then depend upon the Lord to direct your steps. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. I can't predict where I will be tomorrow. I'm not even sure I will be anywhere tomorrow except in heaven or on earth. But God knows. And since he's omniscient and he knows the beginning from the ending and he knows everything in between, it's great to submit to the plan of God for his success for us, and we will not fail if we lean on him and trust him with all of our heart. So we need to decide to trust God. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let's get God's consultation on all of our plans. We can make our plans, lay them at the feet of the Lord, and ask him, Lord, is this what you want me to do today? Is this what we should do? My wife and I talk a lot about that. We're a team. We work together in ministry. She always prays while I preach. And I appreciate that teamwork because we know to be in the middle of the will of God is where there's real peace and there's certainty and there's clear direction, and we won't get lost in the confusion of today's world. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. So what are some of the thoughts that come to our minds here? Well, maybe this one I wrote in my margin some time ago around the other page. Write your plans with pencil, but hand God the pen. Oh, that's outdated now. It's all computer. That's okay. The Bible says here, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, verse 7, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Are you trying to make plans to get reconciled with somebody in this new year? I've always had to work on that. I've been in ministry so long, I've offended so many people, I can't count them. I didn't mean to, but they felt offended, and I had to take care of that. I had to apologize for saying something foolish when I should have said something more sensitive. If you have any of those relationships, please, in this year, make plans to get reconciled. I deal with people in hospital visitation who are on their deathbeds. And there are some of these people that did not take the time while they were feeling good to be responsible to take care of relationships that needed to be mended. Then they live with regret. Let's not live this year with regrets. Let's live with joy, knowing that we're being responsible before God to do His will, whatever that might be, whether it's relationships or whether it's travel plans or whether it's financial management in your life, whatever it is. Speaking of verse 8, it says, better a little with righteousness, better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Now, some of you poor folk out there are probably planning on getting richer this year. You will not get that way through Social Security, I'll guarantee you that. And even with a new health plan, some of us are going to be making bigger copays than we did before. Riches don't come in dollar signs. Riches come in listening to the Lord, obeying His word, meditating upon it, and then we will have good success, and then we will have perfect peace, because our mind will be stayed upon Him, and when our mind is stayed upon Him, we can clearly chart out our plans for any day of 2014. I had written on my calendar the other day that on Thursday that we were supposed to be in Salem to have our prayer time with our missionaries there at Denny's Restaurant. And I thought, this is kind of strange. It doesn't usually happen on a Thursday. We went down there anyway, and it didn't happen. How that got written on my calendar, it was in my writing. Somebody must have called me and told me when it was, but I wrote it on the wrong square in my calendar. We had a fun trip to Salem anyway. But you see, be flexible with your plans. I found out from Jay it's tomorrow morning, so we'll see you in Salem tomorrow morning. God gives directions to those who are leadable, and He takes good care of us when we do. The 9th verse of chapter 16 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord has the final word on what we are supposed to do every day. Now, you'll say, well, that sounds kind of simple. That takes care of kind of praying about it, where it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Don't do that. It says that in 3, 5 of Proverbs. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Every one of us have separate paths. I live in the country. Some of you live in the city. And God has unique plans for every single one of us. We have diversity of gifts. You have your spiritual gift that God has imparted to you. Use it for His glory, because He does intend for you to use it. Stir up the gift that is within you, Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I came today planning to preach. I went to church last night planning to listen. And I did a pretty good job of that. I heard it all. But I didn't have to preach last night. But I soaked it in, and I had to plug my ears at the music, but other than that, it was just fine. Oh, wow, I could hear that really well. We were sitting really close. I don't know what's going on in your life. You're still strangers to me, and I am to you. But the Lord wants to direct you. He wants to give you, whatever that was, I'm not sure. He wants to give you a very satisfying life. But God has established a predetermined plan for his world. It's going to happen. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you and I are co-workers with the Lord in the building of his church. You have a certain responsibility, even right now, between pastors. I'm a temporary one, to work with one another to maintain the unity of this body, Ephesians chapter 4. It's God's plan for you to encourage each other. It's kind of hard wondering when and if God is going to send you another pastor. I was asked this morning if I would take that job. I said, not a chance, not at my age. Thank you very much for the offer. I'm not throwing my hat in the ring. God has another plan for me. He wants me to listen to his voice and give him the honor of leading me the way he leads me. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Is it okay with you that God can change your mind about plans? Don't set your hearts in stone about anything. When I planned back at 65 years old to retire, I thought, wow, retirement, that means a motorhome. Oh, brother. I leaned on my own understanding. And even the folks at the office at Dallas Village Mission said, oh, that'll be handy for you when we give you these assignments as an associate missionary. I think this is the 10th Village Missions church I've been preaching in over the last few years, and I've never needed a motorhome. And I only stayed in it a few days each year, and it just about took all the money I could get to insure it and take care of it. I'm just telling you, some plans are foolish. They are absolutely foolish. But I didn't get consultation from my godly friends. And I didn't pray long enough to God for his direction. Now, I'm sure you haven't made any foolish decisions like that, so that didn't mean a thing to you. But it means a lot to me that I don't have a motorhome now and I have lesser problems. Thank you very much. But God gives us the privilege to make choices. Choices we make today will affect tomorrow. And there are positive and negative consequences to all the choices we make. Let's pray every morning when we get up and evening before we go to bed. Lord, what will you choose for me to do? What do you want me to become? How do you want me to change? Do I need to change my plans that I've got kind of planted up here? Take them away if you wish, but lead me in a path according to your will. He leads us in paths of light. His light shines upon the path so that we can see clear directions down the road. Some of you young people are probably planning on getting married someday. You're going to have to make a choice as to whether you're going to be single or married. Some of you have already decided that. Two of our granddaughters just got engaged over the Christmas season, I guess. And so we know what their plans are. And we assume those plans will be fulfilled. Time will tell. And God directs it. Whatever your plans are, let's ask God to lead us according to his best interests. Our only real bottom line goal is to make sure God is glorified. If he's not, we're going to be horrified. How's that one? I just thought of that a few minutes ago. He must receive the glory. He must receive the glory. He deserves it. We're always hearing in today's world, we deserve the best. you don't believe it, listen to the lady talking about Kaiser Permanente health care. Every one of you deserve the best care. Do we really? Yeah, God wants to give us the best care. He wants us to give Him our heart, take up our cross, deny ourselves, follow Him, and that will be the way to do it. Take up your cross and follow Him. It's all about the cross. When we think of knowing God's will, it's God's will that everyone repents and turn from their sin and become a Christian. Is His sovereign will of saving everybody on earth going to happen? Nope. But God gives people the freedom to make that choice. If they're wise, they'll turn to Him and find forgiveness of their sins and freedom that they've never known before. There's no worse bondage than to live in sin. Under the bondage and the tyranny of sin in our life, that is not freedom, that's bondage. But Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again from the dead because He said He would. I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. He that believes in Me will never die. What a promise. I know I'm never going to die. I don't plan on dying. I'm going to have physical death perhaps, but that's just the gateway into heaven itself. And I've been born twice. I'm only going to die once. I'm a child of Abraham. And He has blessed us through Jesus, who gave Himself at the cross for us. What was God's plan for Jesus? Well, Bible says in the book of Acts, He was delivered up to death by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. And yet, He was nailed to the cross. Godless men put Him to death. Was that God's plan? Yes, it was. Because God can exercise His fullness of love and His justice at the same time. God can reward the good by bringing salvation to those who have faith. And He can bring retribution to the evil who wouldn't be happy in heaven anyhow. And that's why there's heaven and hell. Because God's great love welcomes everybody in, but those who reject Him and turn from Him will be separated from Him throughout all eternity. Did they plan that? Maybe not. But that's how the cross of Calvary works. He died for our sins. When you plan your life, my friend, be willing to say with the Lord Jesus, not my will, Lord, but Yours be done. Pray hard when you're making plans for 2014, but go from cover to cover of your Bible. Read it through. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you know enough about God's directions, you won't get lost in the shuffle of today's life. We're here to celebrate today again on the first Sunday of the month the death of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. So if our elders will come and we'll share this with you, let the Lord speak to you during this time. In a very personal way, we're told to examine ourselves in the light of Calvary.
God is in our lives and in our hearts, and we're
body that Jesus took to the cross was a body that was sinless. It wasn't infected with disease. Every member of his body was devoted to the Father, to do the Father's will. Never sinned, never failed. All the plans the Father had for the Son, he fulfilled. Jesus was able to say in his high priestly prayer, "I've finished all the work, Father, that you gave me to do." He said that on the cross, "It is finished," because he carried it out to the letter. It was his broken, bruised, bloody body that was nailed to the cross, and he finished the sacrifice once and for all, for us, forever, so that we could be forgiven. So when he has this celebration with his disciples, he holds up some broken bread and says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat in celebrating with them all that Jesus meant to them. And then he took the cup and offered them the symbol of the blood that would be shed in their behalf. In Peter's epistle, he tells his Jewish brothers who are believers, he said, "Knowing this, that you were not redeemed with perishable things such as silver and gold from your former way of life inherited from your forefathers, no, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ." This is not literally blood, but it represents that precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And it sounds to me like that precious blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven itself in our behalf to give us eternal redemption. Let's celebrate and thank God for that. to have a closing song. I'm going to ask you if you have any change of plans that you're making for the new year that you want to acknowledge to God and to each other here in the body. During the closing song, please make that choice. You can either sit where you are or you can come to the altar before God and before this company and acknowledge the Lord by presenting your own body a living sacrifice to God, which is a holy service to Him. Thank you.
Please stand.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. So your Master of the sea billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You that Your word was preached here today, that we know that we need to bear in mind Your wants, wills, and desires for our lives and ask Your blessing before we just blindly act. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for a Sunday when we can get together and just worship and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.